It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Batter up.
Hello, listeners. Welcome back to Pod of Their Own. This is episode 198 of A Pod of Their Own. I am Allison McCaig, and I am joined this week by my lovely co-hosts, Linda Surovich. Hello, Linda.
Hey, Allison.
And Maggie Wiggin. Hello, Maggie.
Hi, Allison.
So the past 2 weeks, we had the benefit of recording the podcast after, you know, good vibes weeks. This week, we don't have that luxury. The Mets dropped 2 out of 3 to both the Giants and Cardinals since we last recorded and are now just one game above 500 as we sit here recording this on Monday evening, as the Mets are currently tied with the Cubs in the 8th inning. We waited to start recording, or rather Linda and I guess waited to start recording, because
I spent my evening having fights with my children because I'm fancy.
We are not the same, as they say.
No.
You know, there was a thing happening in this game, a no-hit bid by Luis Severino that ended. And then we were like, all right, time to fire up the Zoom.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Although, like, hats off to Sebi. Like,
yeah,
no or not, that is a really awesome start.
That is a really awesome start. And that's, you know,
I was hoping that there would be a little little pickup where we left off with from my dude Quintana yesterday with the 8 innings.
Oh, my God. That was such a great start by Quintana. And it was like a starting pitcher throwing in the 8th in this economy.
Especially in this rotation.
In this rotation?
Yep. And then they did it twice.
Yep. Yep.
Especially when Marino was like, I could try that. I could do it.
With this bullpen too, down a couple men.
Yeah. So yeah, you know, I mean, they haven't looked good this past week. Mostly, they didn't hit very much, except for that one game that they beat the Giants in the series finale, and they won like 8-2. But this is just what a roughly 84-win team looks like sometimes. Sometimes they look really good, and sometimes they look really bad. And lately, they haven't looked so good.
I can't speak to the Mets because I was in Philly territory all weekend, but I can say the Phillies are very hot right now.
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
So the Mets are sinking very far in the standings right now, too.
Yeah, which is not good.
Yeah, but they have like 18 wild cards, so I'm not worried.
There are many wild cards.
I mean, I don't know that the Mets will get one of them anyway. But I don't think the Phillies being good will be the reason that they don't.
Right.
I don't know. It's hard because Even the Nationals aren't as bad as they thought.
The Marlins are worse than we thought.
True,
the Marlins are worse than everything, except
the White Sox.
But yeah. Other than that.
Yeah. But the Mets, I hope, should finish with a better record than both the Nationals and the Marlins. One would hope.
In theory.
I'll say I would bet on that, because that is not what I approve of personally, but I would give it a thumbs up and not be surprised by it.
The main, glaring thing during this, like, not so good stretch to me, is that Adrian Hauser has had two very bad outings in a row now.
We don't like it.
Nope. Give me the churv.
Linda wants to see the churv. But the reality is that the Mets have lots of options that are better than what Adrian Hauser is currently giving them. His ERA is over 8 now. It's a problem.
And this is the time of year when you're hoping that those 8 ERAs start to go down.
Yeah.
Preferably, like, rather quickly is what you are hoping to see at this point.
Or they go away and are not on the roster anymore or in the
bullpen.
That is
also a very appealing option.
Carlos Mendoza said that his rotation spot is safe for the time being and their job is to fix him, which, you know, that's fine. Like,
I can't fix him, sweetie. He's not worth all of your best years.
I can fix him, really. I can.
We've all been there, Mets. We've all been there, but it goes nowhere. I promise.
There are so many other pitchers in the sea.
Yeah, so many other pitchers in the sea. You don't have to fix this one. What's he giving you? He's mediocre. What's he giving you?
I mean, he does seem like a nice dude, to be fair.
Yeah, I'm sure Adrian Hauser is a lovely human being. I'm not. I don't have a problem with him. And I didn't have a problem with the trade. And it was still a good trade because Tyrone Taylor's been really good. But, you know, you gotta... there's only so much longer that they can keep throwing him out there, especially given the other options that they have. Kodai Senga threw at Citi Field today. He faced live batters, and he looked good, apparently, so that's really good. And, you know, in addition to the Churv, who has performed well, his ERA is good, but he's not missing bats, and his velocity is down, which are concerning things to me. But, you know, ERA still good, but they have Christian Scott in the minor leagues, who is, you know, by all accounts, major league ready, and seems like he's going to be, you know, not necessarily like an ace per se, but like a solid mid rotation starter, is what people smarter than me are saying. And so I would like to see him. I would rather see him than the guy with the 8.3 ERA or whatever. And you know, the Mets have both Tylor Megill and David Peterson in rehab assignments right now. So, like,
although I don't necessarily want either of them in the rotation.
No.
I mean, when you throw those names out there, I'm like, you know, Adrian Hauser has been better than this in the past.
It's true. Neither of those excite me, to be clear, but neither of them had an ERA of 8. When they were with the Mets. That was true.
I feel like Peterson came close. I feel like he was at a 6 or 7 at one point.
At one point, but not for that long. I think most of the time he's been in like the high 3s, low 4s, which is like fine.
I don't feel like that doesn't jive with my memory of David.
I know.
No, that definitely does not jive.
No, that's the ERA does not match the aesthetic viewing experience of David Peterson, but you know, but I feel like
he does
David
have a career ERA of 4.5, which is the low end of what I would have expected.
But like, watching David Peterson is actually like watching a lot of this Mets rotation. Like, he nibbles and walks too many batters and doesn't go deep into games because he does that. That's what you could say about literally everybody in the Mets rotation right now. I mean, obviously, the past two days of outings being the exception, but before that, it was literally everybody in the rotation was doing this. Was doing the David Peterson experience. We were watching that every day.
Yeah, and you can't keep doing that, especially now that the bullpen's down a couple dudes.
Yeah.
That's not a winning formula right there.
Right. So, I mean, all that is to say, like, I'm not saying that I am excited by Tyler McGill and David Peterson by any stretch of the imagination, but the Mets have other options that they can turn to that aren't Adrian Hauser. And at a certain point, it becomes less and less defensible. Because before it was like, oh, well, we have nobody else. That's not true anymore. They have other options. So we'll see what happens, especially I think Tyler McGill is the one that's due back like pretty soon. So we'll see what happens, whether he ends up back in the rotation or if he ends up in the bullpen.
He seems like the guy to put in the bullpen, honestly.
I think they're going to option Buddo because he has options.
I know they probably
will. Well, Budo's been bad the last two times.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, Buddo hasn't covered himself in glory either. He hasn't been as bad as Hauser, but he has not been the Jose Buddo of the early part of the season where he was quite good.
I hope he gets one more start before McGill comes back. I would like him to straighten it out a little bit because I like him a lot.
Yeah, yeah. I like him too. But yeah, I have a feeling that's who's going to lose his job just because options and Adrian Hauser doesn't have those. So we'll see what happens. But obviously, you know, at a certain point, Christian Scott is probably going to force the issue. And, you know, Kodai Senga eventually down the road will come back. So, but these are good problems to have, I suppose.
Yeah, you know. I'll take it.
Yeah. Poor Curve.
Sorry.
I know. Also, I'll still be here, still, you know, banging the drum for the Curve, even if I sound like a crazy person.
It's fine. Everybody has to stand someone.
We do.
Yeah. Other roster notes. Starling Marte is currently on the bereavement list, and Drew Smith is on the injured list with shoulder inflammation. These are obviously not good things. The annual Drew Smith injury is upon us. It's literally the same every year. He looks good in April, and then he gets hurt.
Spoiler alert, when he comes back, he's not going to look good anymore.
Yeah,
we've seen this movie before. Yeah.
I hope this is a different movie this time, but it's been the same movie for many years going now. It's been, you know, Drew Smith has, you know, a 1.5 April ERA and everybody's like, Drew Smith's a high leverage reliever, finally. And then he gets hurt and then he's bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds familiar.
We've hit the injured part of the movie. We'll see what happens. If he follows the same script again or if he deviates from the script this time. But
Tyler
McGill
is also playing the exact same movie.
Indeed. Yes,
they're playing all the hits.
But luckily for Smith, it seems like very similar to Brooks Raley last time we talked about, you know, he went on the IL with elbow inflammation, but both of their MRIs seemed pretty clean.
We love a clean MRI.
Yeah, love a clean MRI. As clean as a pitcher MRI can be. I don't want to know, like, what... I mean, I'm not well-trained enough to be able to, like, identify a screwed-up elbow on an MRI.
You gotta, like, a radiologist in that situation who's used to seeing, like, normal human MRIs day in and day out. When they see a pitcher MRI, I mean, they have to dry heave just a little, right? I mean, there just has to be, like, kind of moment where you're like, I cannot believe what I'm looking at. Where you just have to, like, kind of dig deep and be like, no. This is how it's supposed to be. It's fine.
Or be like, I'm supposed to clear this guy? Like, what's the range here? Like,
moment where you question medical ethics.
Exactly. Every pitcher's
elbow. I bet none of their kids pitch.
Every pitcher's elbow looks screwed up on an MRI to a certain extent, but I guess that their MRIs look, you know, as screwed up as expected.
Oh, God, imagine, like, a regular pitcher MRI looks that bad, and then there's one that is, like, qualitatively different.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Worse even.
I think Edwin Diaz isn't doing well.
Yeah, he just gave up a 2-run homer.
All right, that's fine.
So all right, game over.
This game's over.
And that's that.
We had him when we needed him yesterday.
And we had, on the anniversary of the combined no-hitter, we decided to blow a no-hitter and blow it hard.
It's fine. It is what it is. I'm sitting here like, it's fine. None of you are actually my family that I need to talk down from that.
It's fine. So in their place, in Marte and Smith's place on the roster are Mark Vientos and Dednell Nunez. Obviously, Mark Vientos has already made a huge impact with his walk-off 2-run homer yesterday, which is very exciting. I'm very happy for him. That's real, like, awesome.
Good human moment there too. Like, if you pull up some of the videos of his reaction and everyone's reaction to him, just like, that's the good stuff right there. This young kid struggled super bad and has that moment that he's been waiting for. I mean, that's like pure dopamine right there.
Yeah, you know, and you know, was sent down to start the season in a year that he expected to make the opening day roster. Not that it was necessarily like undeserved, but, you know, it's still disappointing no matter what. And, you know, didn't let it get him down, worked really hard in the minors to get back. He's back and immediately had like his first real huge moment as a Met. It's really cool. It's really cool. And Gary Cohen was saying on the broadcast that, or actually, I think it was Steve Gelbs. Steve Gelbs was saying it on the broadcast that he talked to the AAA manager, and he said that that, you know, they had a Syracuse had a doubleheader, and they were in the dugout, and someone said that Mark Vientos had hit a walk off homer, and everyone erupted in cheers.
Aww.
Which
oh,
is
that's
very
really
exciting.
Sweet.
Yeah, it's very nice.
It's going to be hard since his two buddies are obviously Beatty and Alvarez, and they're up in the big leagues, you know, having fun. And, you know, he was missing out on the party, kind of.
It's tough.
Yeah, it's really tough.
But I'm glad he's back. I hope he makes it really awkward when it is time to decide who goes.
Yeah, because obviously Marte is going to come back, and then they have to decide what to do here. It's tough because Mark Vientos and Brett Beatty are redundant of each other in the sense that they both only play third base. Brett Beatty's been struggling mightily with the bat.
Yeah. I'm not saying I revoke my apology, because my apology was based on goodwill and caring as a person, but I'm not sure I actually was wrong about Brett Beatty.
Exactly. So we'll see. I mean, I don't know. Like, it could just be a cold spell. But yeah, so there's that to consider. There's the fact that Joey Wendell hasn't hit very much at all and been a liability in the field.
Has he done anything good?
He did have that one big hit that won them a game.
One time.
I'll allow it.
But the problem is that Joey Wendell has much more positional flexibility than Mark Vientos has, and you know that means something to the Mets and their roster construction. So I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do. We'll see what happens. I can't predict what they're going to do exactly. But hopefully Vientos makes it real awkward instead of just, you know, that being the only moment he gets sent back down again. We'll see. Other roster notes, the Mets continue to do the bullpen churn. They are churning through relievers like nobody's business. Since we recorded our last show, Josh Walker has come and gone.
He
was
did
on the team.
Did he get into a game?
Yeah, multiple. Two games, three games. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he was,
like,
he
if
pitched.
You get two, then that's like an official cup of coffee and you're done.
Like I said, I was basically out of the country. I was in Philly country, and that's like its whole world. So.
He pitched well, actually.
No, I wish I was at the Knicks game.
The rest of New York was.
I know.
Indeed.
Although, did you see the one guy who went to the Knicks game to see the Knicks clinch in Philly and then went to D.C. and saw the Rangers clinch in D.C.?
I did.
Wow.
That's pretty cool.
That is living the dream.
Yeah, that's a good weekend.
The Knicks didn't clinch, though. They just
won. They won, but not
they won. Way. They didn't clinch the series yet. They still got one more win to get there, up 3-1. So
yes,
good stuff.
Yeah, still pretty good game to be at, though.
Yeah, for sure. My one neighbor whose dog is friends with Blue, she's a Ranger. They're Rangers fans, and they were at the game.
Oh, nice.
In D.C., yeah.
So seeing all the sad Caps fans, that must have been fantastic.
They were like, yeah, I enjoyed watching them leave.
Linda's like, I'm going to drink their blood.
I am.
Yeah. Hockey brings out something in Linda that baseball does not.
Yeah, I know.
I can't explain it. It's not that you like hockey more, because obviously, I mean, that's not how you think.
No.
But there is a different edge to
edge.
Hockey, Linda.
Yeah. I don't know, maybe it's just like the aggressive nature of the sport. I don't know.
I mean, yeah, I feel possibly. Like we all need something that makes us want to punch a thing.
Yeah, yeah. No, I do have a question. Speaking of, well, who was your daughter out for blood for when you were at the game?
Oh, gosh, I don't even remember. It was the ninth inning, so it could have been anybody.
Okay.
At one point during the game, which was, like, spoiler alert, hold on till the end of the episode for more on that, but she shouts out, "Get off his head!"
I was like, who was she so mad at?
I mean, I don't even know if it was mad. It was just like feeling.
A lot of big feelings.
Yes.
Yes. We've all been there.
We did tone it down just a little bit. I just feel like she's too young for it. She's got nowhere to grow from here.
Yeah. Michael, he definitely gets more like aggressive about the yelling when he's watching football than when he's watching baseball. And I think, again, it has to do with like the sport being just more aggressive.
But I don't know. The Jets might just cause that, though.
Yeah, the Jets
it's
are
the
pretty
Jets.
Maddening.
I will say, like, it's not that I don't get dysregulated about baseball, but it's much more of a like tense, like, oh my God, I cannot look at this. No, make it go away. Stop everything now. And much less of a like, what just happened there? It's categorically different anxieties.
Yes, for yes. sure.
They're, yeah, and it's palpable too.
And the like cut off his head mentality is reserved for like Chase Utley and Rhys Hoskins.
Yes, Chase Utley was the name like on on my lips in this second.
Yeah. It totally is. Well,
given how she feels about Phillies in general, I would worry about Chase. I don't know that he's in a safe place if I tell her everything there is to know about him.
Someday yeah. she'll learn. It's part of
she
the lore.
She will learn. It is. It's lore now. It's the 2015 lore.
It's important to learn.
Yes. Got to know
ready.
Your Mets.
When she's I ready. Should be the one to tell her.
Yes. Yeah. Yes,
when
absolutely.
She's ready. She will learn.
She's not ready.
She's not proven herself ready yet. We've seen it.
Yeah. But she also has to learn about Utley U. Butley and our hero.
She yes. is. I mean, she's the next generation of Utley U. Butley.
She really is.
Indeed.
I don't want to know how old Chutley U. Butley, Utley U. Butley is. I mean, she's got to be in college now.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
Say
no.
That.
Yeah,
do not say
no,
that.
She probably is.
She might be graduating college.
No, she would be graduating. She was certainly in the 10 in the 10 year old range.
So that would make her 20?
Yeah, she's in college, I think.
Yeah, she's definitely in college.
All right, we'll call her a
Utley U. Butley girl. If you listen to this podcast, please reach out to us. We'll have you on.
Yeah, we'll interview you.
How are you, doing?
What's you're our here? Hero.
You're part of the lore. We need you on the show.
Yeah, and like, does she know she's an icon at this point? She must.
I think she must know.
Yeah.
She's been exposed to the internet.
Yeah, that's true.
It's
she grew
whole...
up on the
That's the whole thing.
Yeah.
She's like Bane. Like, I was raised in the darkness.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Or was that us being raised in the darkness? I feel like it might have been us.
Well, not to start a whole philosophical discussion about generations, but yeah, millennials are kind of the last generation that, like, remembers, like, life before the internet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah,
that's
so
we do.
The next generation adopted the darkness. We were born in it.
Jeez.
Yeah.
We're the original Banes.
So the bullpen has, despite the churn, been, you know, the highlight. I mean, you know, Edwin Diaz giving up a go-ahead two-run homer in the ninth inning. As
he gets
we
one
speak,
season.
Aside.
This is fine.
It's fine. The bullpen has collectively been one of the highlights of the team. The highlight, I would argue, of the team. They have the best entering today. They had the best bullpen ERA in the National League. And that's, you know, in part due to the, you know, great performances of guys like Edwin Diaz and Adam Ottavino and Brooks Raley before he got hurt and stuff like that. But also, obviously, the continued emergence of Reed Garrett, who is, you know, 5-0
God on earth,
leading baseball in wins, folks. 5-0.
I think that says a little bit more about the Mets starting pitching.
Yeah. No, I also don't know if that's true because it's Twitter and I didn't look it up. But somebody tweeted he has more wins than the White Sox.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay.
Oh yeah, that makes sense.
I think that that is correct.
God. Oh my God. I mean, I don't know who that's better for, Reed Garrett or worse than for the White Sox.
How did Reed Garrett have this one? Okay. I feel like end of April, a journeyman reliever with 6 wins is allowed to give himself a little pat on the back.
I'm sorry, yes. The White Sox do have 6 wins, but I think at the time that that person tweeted it, I think it was correct.
Okay. All right. So we'll let Reed have that one.
Yeah.
My goodness.
Another guy who is performing well out of the bullpen, Sean Reed Foley, came back from being injured this week, or air quotes injured, depending on how you look at it. I'm not sure. It's not up to me to make a call on that, whether that was real, you know. But he's back now. And he has looked good since coming back. He struck out like 5 batters in his first 3 innings of work and looks good, hasn't given up a run. So
I feel like that's typical Sean Reed Foley too. And then he gets overexposed and then the league adjusts and then he's bad again.
Yeah, but we gotta ride this wave, Linda.
Okay, we'll take it. We'll take it.
Gotta ride this wave. There is one like kind of unfortunate bit of bullpen news. It's like tangential bullpen news. Nate Lavender, the standout relief pitching prospect was really, really good in spring training, really hoping that he could have like contributed this year, is unfortunately getting Tommy John surgery.
I still have this characterization of Nate Lavender in my head as Nate Lavender PI. And unfortunately, anyone who is familiar with the film noir genre is not surprised by this turn of events. This is pretty dead on for the tone.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry, though.
But now he never gets to wear the purple jersey.
I know. I really wanted
to wear that for years. He'll be back.
I really wanted Nate Lavender in the City Connect like one time. It just the vibes would have been really good.
Yeah. It's possible. It's because he's not like, it's all on 1 year contract, right? He's around. He's just like,
yeah. He's a prospect, so he's a young guy.
So we'll see what next season brings.
We shall see.
Lucky Land Casino asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It's time for today's Lucky Land Horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round 2. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
In the meantime, I suppose that is a perfect transition to our baseball segment, which is about the jerseys. Speaking of the jerseys,
not the good kind.
We learned yesterday, I guess. Yeah, late yesterday, from Jeff Passan at ESPN. That Major League Baseball plans to address the uniform fiasco we were, you know, when we first talked about this on the podcast, I remember we were like, you know, how long is the league just going to, you know, let this go on and hope everyone forgets that forgets about it and stops complaining like everything else that's bad in the world. It's just like we just learn to put up with it. Well, apparently things are going to change for the better eventually, we hope.
Well, I'll give them credit too, because this was something else. I was like, they're just going to pretend until we give up. But there we go. They did not pretend.
Yeah, I was like not optimistic that anything would happen, but at least something's going to happen. So according to the letter from the union to the players, the modifications that will go into effect next season. So this season, we're kind of stuck with the crappy jerseys. You know, it is what it is. They will return to the larger lettering, which is funny because like someone posted, I think it was Sespa's Barbecue. They posted like a bunch of photos of the like, you know, the previous jerseys with the large lettering. And now I feel like my brain has been rewired because I looked at them and I was like, those letters are huge. Oh, my God.
Bizarre monster. But then you look for another half second. You're like, but it looks so much better.
Yeah, you look for another half second. You're like, oh, yeah, this is normal.
Is so good. It's yeah, bring it back, please.
Fix it. Yeah, they're bringing back the good letters. They are remedying the mismatched gray tops, the road grays that are different
that
shades of gray.
Level. I don't know if we even addressed that one directly on the podcast, but that was a new level of embarrassment.
It really was. Like, and it was so obvious on TV too that the like pants and the tops didn't match. They were like both like light gray, but they were like different shades of gray.
I feel very like I am a former teenage goth and I put so much of my time and energy into matching blacks. The fact that people paid to do so cannot do the same for their grays. Very disappointing.
Indeed.
Now, are they doing anything about the cheap quality and the pants splitting?
Yes, I do believe the pants are also being addressed.
Okay.
The pants are also being addressed and the New Jersey's quote propensity to collect sweat.
Which, well, that's one way to put it.
That's one way to put it. But yes, if you've noticed that dudes have looked significantly wetter, it's because of the jerseys.
Low key, Matt Harvey is like, I retired at the right time.
So true.
Now, what I want to know, like, I feel bad for the rookies, though, who already made their debut because now they have a shitty jersey hanging up.
Yeah, they're going to have the crappy jersey framed in their house.
They could have had their rookie year, the year that they had like those diaper bottoms to the uniform tops, where they had like the white tails.
Oh my God.
Yes.
I feel like would be even worse in some way.
Yeah.
I can't explain it.
Don't give MLB ideas because somehow they're going to combine the two.
Oh, yeah.
No, and that's going to be their next generation of jerseys.
Now, in the memo to the players, it's also worth noting that the union really threw Nike under the bus and like tried to absolve Fanatics in all of this, which is interesting. The memo said this has been entirely a Nike issue. At its core, what has happened here is that Nike was innovating something that didn't need to be innovated.
Have they specified what it was that they were innovating?
The performance material, I think.
Yeah, the performance material. Yeah. It was supposed to be
like the jersey. Like, yeah. What were they innovating? The jerseys. They did it badly. They put it back.
Yeah.
But I still don't understand like what the font has to do with performance material.
It doesn't. Yeah, so they like absolved Fanatics and said that like Nike was like messing around with the jersey design and it's their fault and Fanatics just produced what Nike asked them to and blah blah blah, and it's like, well, I don't know.
So what does Michael Rubin have on them is the big question.
Yeah, right.
Either that or they know that's their moneymaker right there. Fanatics is the moneymaker right now.
Yeah, exactly. They have significant financial investment in Fanatics.
Yeah.
The union,
I mean, I do figure that like Fanatics is where the money is, and then Nike also has a little bit of brand security that they can kind of be like, whoops, sorry, and it's not like you're gonna stop buying Nike, whereas like people might actually stop buying Fanatics at this point if they don't
so this is like tangentially Mets related, actually, because the Mets haven't worn their, you may have noticed that the Mets have not worn their blue or black jerseys yet this season because they don't have the pants for them. Thanks, Fanatics.
But didn't that happen to some other team? Wasn't it the Cardinals? They don't have their blues.
They don't have their powder blues because, yes. And that's actually like a problem that came up because the Cardinals just played the Mets when the Mets debuted their City Connect jerseys. And there was some concern that, you know, the Mets jersey, the Mets City Connect jersey is gray and that they were going to be playing against the Cardinals wearing their road grays, whereas the Cardinals could have had an alternative away uniform and switched to their powder blues, but they didn't have them. So they played in the road grays. I don't think that's actually a problem.
Yeah, I don't think that's a real problem either.
I mean, Trevor May tweeted today, like, stop making the home City Connect uniforms gray, but it's a different shade of gray. It's much darker than the road grays. I think it's
pretty
fine.
Distinctive.
I agree with Trevor May. And, I'm sorry, and I just had something.
And it's got a texture to it, and it's got a pattern to it.
But, like, Gare brought up when the Rockies visited in their gray and purple, then the Mets will also be gray and purple.
It's a different gray and a different purple.
Stripes.
It's still a lot of gray and purple.
Stripes.
It's all commitment.
You say a lot of gray and purple as though there's a such thing as too much gray and purple.
I like the gray and purple together.
I really like gray and purple. Put them all on gray and purple. Fuck
yeah. Do it. And the other thing is, like, I get it. Like, I get why it could be like a boring, like boring aesthetically to watch, like, two teams both wearing gray. But, like, it doesn't, from a practical standpoint, it doesn't actually matter in baseball. Only one team is on the field at a time. I could understand how that would be bad in, like, basketball or hockey or football or soccer. Like, basically any sport where there's, like, a bunch of people running around and you have to be able to tell. They have to be two very different colors because you have to be able to tell who is on what team.
They're gonna be on top of each other.
Otherwise, like, someone's going to pass the ball to someone not on their team. Pass the ball or puck or whatever to someone who's not on their team. I get that. It's very important. I mean, I played soccer my whole life, and when two teams were playing each other and their jerseys colors were too similar, one of the teams had to wear pennies, and you always had to draw straws to figure out which team was going to wear the pennies, the smelly pennies from the, like, the trunk in the gym.
No, have we seen if it affects people who are colorblind, though?
It shouldn't.
Like the football, when they all saw just one big color when they were doing their color rush jerseys.
I mean, possibly, but also, like when it comes to the difference between, like, the Mets City Connects, for example, and a different team's, like, regular road grays, the gradation in, like, the darkness of the color, to me, is the same pretty much as the difference between the gradation of, like, light road grays and white. Like, there's not that much difference.
Yeah,
I would agree with that.
Like, you should be able to, like, they shouldn't be wearing, I agree, they shouldn't wear the same shade of gray.
Yes, yes.
But it's far less of a problem in baseball than it is in other sports because only one team is on the field at a time.
What if the Rockies wear their black with the purple? Is that too much?
That might be, I feel like, well, I don't know.
Because those are both star. Yeah.
But I still feel like there's something about the, I know it's not technically a texture. It is technically like a printed on pattern, but the manufactured texture of the asphalt type material in the gray, I feel like, makes it stand out from most of the solids.
It's not like a solid color.
Yeah.
Got stuff pattern.
So clearly it's a lot for Fanatics to wrap their minds around.
Yes.
They're struggling deeply. Although I've also heard, I have not gotten a jersey yet, but I have heard that the jersey quality is closer to last year's than the other jerseys this year. So
excellent. I have not received mine yet either, but I'm eagerly anticipating it. It should arrive May 9th, apparently. So we'll see about that. But yeah, I would argue the more important development when it comes to the Mets not being able to wear their alternate uniforms, is the continued rise of Dark Brandon.
Oh,
no, Brandon!
Come on over.
because Brandon Nimmo continues to give like saucy quotes about the jerseys. He is clearly upset about this.
Imagine being so bad at your job that you radicalize Brandon Nimmo.
Exactly. So this is the latest quote from Brandon Nimmo. Quote, "There's a serious problem when a $13 billion industry is having a tough time getting pants from a worldwide industry that is supposed to be at the forefront of apparel and whatnot. We can't wear our blacks. We can't wear our blues because we don't have our pants. And I hear it's a problem with other teams as well. And whatnot." That's such a Brandon Nimmo like thing to say.
Like him throwing "and whatnot" is like Brandon Nimmo angry. Like, he's so angry he doesn't know the words.
Yeah, you've made Brandon Nimmo say whatnot. I hope you're happy. I hope you're pleased with yourselves.
He said whatnot twice.
Like, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, this would never happen in any other league. They went and stand for this. So the fact that it's taken this long for baseball to figure it out and to let it continue.
The way they announced it too, they're like, "Please hold on to your hats. There's been a change to the uniforms."
And everybody's like, "What took you so long?" That was the main reaction.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, hopefully for once, instead of continuing to get worse, things will actually improve.
Get
closer to being back to how good they were before.
I'm still waiting for them to have like a printing error where then you can only fit like one letter and one number on the jersey because now the letters are too big.
So it'll flash forward to Brandon Nimmo mixing up like, you know, like a chemical eye wash for pepper spray to, you know, get out at riots and Molotov cocktails like boop, over the bullpen.
Brandon Nimmo's going to start an encampment at Citi Field.
Nimmo is starting the wars.
Oh. Let's do it. I'm in.
The revolution is here, and Brandon Nimmo is the leader.
Indeed. So we will end the show this week, like we always do, with walk-off wins, where each of us talks about something that is making us happy this week, baseball-related or otherwise. I will actually go first this week because mine is related to the topic that we were just talking about.
We love an easy transition.
Exactly, which is the jerseys. So my walk-off win is that my City Connect merch arrived. Not the jersey, because those, I guess, take longer to ship. So the jersey is shipping separately and will hopefully arrive by May 9th, you know, just in time for Alvarez to have not played in like 2 weeks, which is the person whose jersey I got. Very cursed, but hopefully will end up being a good purchase in the end. But my other merch arrived, which is the white women's hoodie and the hat with the bridge on it in the adjustable form. And both are fantastic. I love them both even more in person than I did in the pictures online.
I can vouch for the white hoodie because I got it too, and it is gorgeous. I was actually a little mad I couldn't wear it. It was too warm yesterday.
It's so nice. It's actually a hoodie that is made for women instead of just like being, because like a lot of times when manufacturers make air quotes women's merch, it's just like scaled down to be smaller, which is not actually how you make women's clothing. You don't just like make it the same but smaller. That's like not how it works. Like,
yes,
yeah,
women's bodies are actually shaped differently, and this hoodie actually takes that into account. It is like, yeah, it is cut so that like, it's hard to describe, it's like V'd in, like so that the like waist is smaller, and like it and then it gives the slouchier fit in the shoulders and arms, but still doesn't like, you know, hang off you like a dress. It like actually like then like cuts inwards and hugs you, and isn't super long. It's not a crop top, but it's not like a, normally a big slouchy fit hoodie would just like, you know, go to your knees or whatever, especially if you're a short person like me. No. This is like a normal length for, you know, a normal lady's sized torso, which is amazing. I actually can wear the hoodie and have it not like, you know, completely go down like past my butt. It's awesome. I love it.
Yeah, it looks really good on you.
It did, yeah.
It's like, it fits me perfect, and I'm obsessed with it. And the hat is great, too. The hat is a men's hat, but it's the dad cap, so I was able to adjust it, like, basically all the way in, and then it finally fit my... I'll take it. I'll take it.
Fashionable pleating on the back.
Yeah, just a little pleat. A little pleat. I'll take it. It's fine.
It works, man.
It works. I love the bridge on the hat so much that I need to have it. So, yeah. That's my walk-off win for this week. Maggie Wiggin, I think I know what your walk-off win is. You already spoiled it. Tell the people.
All right. My walk-off win is that me and my babies were at the game yesterday. That's the Sunday game, the Mark Bientos walk-off win game. My babies, who love Edwin Diaz, who through just like an unfortunate series of coincidences have never in their lives witnessed Narco at Citi Field, got to witness Narco at Citi Field.
Yay!
And they got to see him pitch really well, which not everyone did today. So also it was my birthday present, because my birthday is technically, okay, when this drops, my birthday will be today because it is Tuesday, but that was like the thing I wanted to do for my birthday, was to go to the game. And the kids made me a sign announcing to the world that it was my birthday and instructing the Mets to hit a home run, which they did twice. And the first one was Lindor, and I was wearing his jersey. And that was like everybody's like magic moment, just to even get the game started, was like, this is going to be a good one. And, you know, I mean, the last, I think it still did technically make the walk-off win cut, but the last game we had been to was opening day, and it was fine. We had a good time. It made the walk-off win. But at the same time, like, not only did they not win, but also, like, everyone was kind of grouchy. It was pretty cold and windy. Like, there was just, the vibes were not all clicking. But yesterday, the vibes were all clicking. Oh, the other thing we got was the Express 7 back to the city, which is very exciting for my party.
Yes, that is clutch. Yes.
Yes. So that was, yeah, it was just, like, it was one of those games. And when you have kids, like, there are these outings where you actually do get to check every box that everyone has. And those days are so rare. And to really have the day yesterday where everybody got that thing that they've been hoping for a long time, including me. My thing was a baseball game with my kids being happy. It was a really perfect day. So, game bets. Thank you for hitting my home run.
It's awesome. You picked such a good game to go to.
So good.
Yeah, that was a really good day.
Linda Cervich, what is your walk-off win for this week?
Well, like I said, I was in Philly territory because we went down the shore for my parents' 50th anniversary.
That's amazing.
Yeah, this is what they wanted to do. They got a hotel for all of us to spend the weekend down in Ocean City. Which we've been going to for our entire lives. My mom used to vacation there as a girl. She worked there when she was in high school and college. So it's just always been a big part of our lives going down there. And the weather wasn't the best until, of course, today when we were leaving. But we got a good day. What's today? Sunday. We had a good day Sunday because it was sunny, and they were also having a weekend of boardwalk sales. So like all the stores along the boardwalk had really good sales going on. So I bought a t-shirt for exactly $3.99.
Love it.
It was a good weekend to be down there. And then we went out to eat with my parents, and my sister and brother-in-law got them the same flowers and boutonniere they had at their wedding. They got them the same cake they had at their wedding. It was just a good weekend to spend with the kids too, my niece and nephew. It was like a little bonus because we go there every year on vacation in August, but this is like little something extra just to be down there because it's my happy place during the year. It was just nice to be away and spend time with the family for the weekend, and now I'm back here. And also my second walk-off win, if I can sneak it in, is Go Rangers.
Yay!
Because Yay. They did make it. It was a sweep, which they haven't done since 2007. So it's nice not being stressed like I normally am, where I want to die or vomit or both while watching the game.
We'll save that for the next series.
Yeah, yeah. So I know for a fact that's going to be the next series. But, you know, this is kind of reminding me of 94, especially since the Knicks are also good. So looking good. It might be an exciting time in the city this summer. We'll see. But, yeah, for now, so far, so good.
Yeah, keeping those vibes good.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen.
Also, it's a nice distraction when the Mets are bad.
Yeah, it's true. In the meantime, you can go to Home on Applesauce to check out all of our fantastic pods. You can support our work by going to patreon.com/homeonapplesauce. You can get in touch with this show by email, aa.apodoftheirown@gmail.com. You can follow Home on Applesauce on social media at @HRApplesauce on Twitter and Instagram. You can follow this show on Twitter. We are @ApodOfTheirOwn on all of the things. If you want to participate in our Baseball for All fundraiser for our 200th episode, which is coming up in 2 weeks, by the way, for our 5th anniversary, you can send us your receipt or proof of donation, whatever, to Baseball for All, and you will get entered to win a cool prize. Yeah, thanks to everybody who already participated, but there's still time to participate. 2 more weeks to donate to Baseball for All. They are a fantastic cause. You can also find each of us individually on social media. I am at Petite PhD. Where are you, Linda?
Linda Sarovich.
And you, Maggie?
At Maggie162.
Please subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your podcasts from. Just search Home and Applesauce and you'll find our entire suite of pods right there. Please rate and review the show. It really helps people find it. The original intro and outro music to this podcast is by Bunka. Let's go Mets. And don't forget, there's no crying in pain.